foundational tools to develop a biblical worldview. Welcome to Mentoring Matters, a listener-supported program of SharonHearts.org. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth in order to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview. Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And today I'm going to start us in James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, Janie, trials are not fun places to be. So how am I supposed to be joyful?
Well, for one, you're going to have to consider your source, because you can't think rationally and look at trials of pain and suffering as joy. Right. It does not compute to a mind that is not focused on the author of joy.
Well, the way we think in the world today is completely opposite of the truth of the scriptures. So we can't think like the world and be spiritually discerning.
Well, that's a statement full of wisdom. So I don't know about you, Sharon, but I think I would rather pursue the wisdom of God than the wisdom of man, because right now when I look at the wisdom of man, we're not rating too high on any poll.
Yeah.
And God has a purpose in trials. He does allow things that don't make sense.
Yes. But and I think that what happens to us is that we think we have some sort of superior mind. And if God doesn't do things the way that makes sense to us, then it must not be God.
Or he's the one that's crazy and we're the
exactly.
one that, all right, and that is more than absurd.
Right.
Okay. For us to solve any kind of problem, we need to find out the facts and face the facts. Now, in John 6:19, it says, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. These disciples were having a hard time understanding the facts because, first of all, there was a storm going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they were preoccupied a little bit with anxiety and
over
fear.
The storm. Okay.
And the unknowns that were going to result. Then they look out on the sea and they see this shadowy figure walking on the storm waters. This has no rationale or reason to it.
No logic whatsoever.
And here is the thing. They had been with him when Jesus had fed thousands of people. They had been in his presence. But when he was not with them after that great miracle, they immediately reverted back to where their natural thinking was. And Sharon, we have a tendency to do that too. We can
right.
speak of great things of the Lord. We can parrot verses that we've memorized.
Mm-hmm.
We can believe it. And then something happens in the normal course of our day, and fear is right back taking priority mm-hmm. over anything about faith. And we know the brain cannot think with clarity when
right.
fear is anywhere in its thinking.
That is so true.
So now we need to know that even though they were his disciples and they were learning from him, Sharon, they still really did not know him.
And that's really the key for us today as well, to really know him. And isn't that a process that takes time?
Yes, it is. But you know what? There are some facts that we can face that show us the positive ways that we can start to train ourselves over time as we're in the scriptures.
Okay.
In Psalms 37, it shows us that God sees trouble that wicked people cause his children. So he's not taken by surprise when we listen to the news and hear of some tragedy that has happened to one of his children. Then 2 Corinthians 11:22-31, Paul tells us, get the facts right. You are going to have many tribulations, and you're going to suffer because of your faith in him. And yet, if he's asked you to go through a trial, he's not going to put you through a trial that he's not equipped you with how to handle the trial under his power, his strength, you're looking to him.
Right, and that's why in James, after he tells us to count it all joy that we go through various trials, that the next verse says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
Oh, so right there's a purpose, isn't it?
Right.
All right. Most of us will openly admit we lack patience.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that that is a quality we're going to need throughout eternity.
Right.
You know, there's many more words that Jesus and Paul said that tell us never to ask why something is happening with questioning God's goodness or questioning His sovereignty in what He's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we can ask why in asking, what is your will in these circumstances,
right,
Lord?
Right.
Why are these things coming to me in my life? You have a way that you want me to be a part of a solution to show forth your goodness. So there is a time to ask why without questioning His character, His goodness.
I think it's a matter of the heart, Janie, because if you're asking why as a complaint or out of frustration or anger toward God, then that's different than saying, oh God, what is it within me that you are looking to change? How can I glorify you through this trial? How can I show forth your goodness and your character through this tribulation that I'm going through? So that's a completely different attitude of the heart.
Now, there's another thing that we get tested on or expanded on, and that's handicaps.
Uh-huh.
We can have permanent handicaps in our life that cause us to question why God has not taken care of our physical. There's a one-liner, and I don't know where I found it, but I'm going to say it. The highway of triumph is often the low way of tribulation.
Okay.
So there can be triumph as I go through a tribulation. And when if I go to Romans 8:28, it lets us know that for those that love the Lord, that all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard out of your own mouth how cancer worked for good.
Yes.
And I'm sure some people are calling you crazy, but other people who are going through cancer listen to your words, and they're words of life, of hope,
right,
that it's not in vain, that it has a purpose, even though it doesn't appear to. When you first found out you had cancer, you weren't checking it out to see what the good purpose was.
Well, it was like you said, there was a lot of fear. When you're fearful, you can't think straight. And so you have to overcome that fear, and you can only do that through faith.
So Sharon, sometimes we have to accept the fact that handicaps are not necessarily a mere detour, but they may be the real highway that we have been called to travel.
So true.
And then, you know, we get hung up because we are a world that loves materialistic goodies.
Mm.
You only have to get on the internet or TV to find out about the shopping channels.
Right.
And we are into excessive materialism, and that keeps us focused on just the here and now feel goods.
Right.
And when that happens, we realize that even in our wanting to be spiritual, that we can still pray for something that's just temporal.
Well, and we find that people are more concerned about their physical healing than they are about their spiritual healing. And so when we go through trials of, say, cancer or a disease of some sort, then our focus is that God heal us from the cancer or the disease rather than God show me spiritually what I can learn through this process.
And that's a good point, Sharon, because we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit.
Uh-huh.
And if we get our immediate physical needs fixed, we will not pursue the soul and the spirit, which
that's
can
right.
be in big trouble, which may be a part of the reason why we are now battling something in the physical.
Right. That's so true.
And then we also, Sharon, do have the issue of having a thorn in the flesh. Sometimes we are given something as a gift from God, and God says, and I'm not going to take it away. You need it. It will be a tool that will keep you humble. It will keep your pride in check.
Well, that's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. He talked about the thorn in the flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, is what Paul said.
Glory and joy. Foreign words identified with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Sharon, Daniel even had those words in his actions when he was put into a lion's den.
Oh, yeah.
All right. God could have kept him from going into that lion's den, but he had to face wild animals that were going to kill him. But his character knew that he could glory in trusting the Lord, even if they were to eat him.
Right, right.
And he knew that he had to sense the nearness of God. He had to realize what the power is.
Janie, his life displayed that before he got in the lion's den. He knew the nearness of God, and he realized God's power before he was ever even in the lion's den. He spent time with God. He knew who God was. So there wasn't that last minute, oh, well, now I'm here. Now what do I do?
Romans 8:35 through 37 tells us that it doesn't really matter what the trial is, what the affliction, the prison, the handicaps, whatever we may face,
mm-hmm.
that we can face life with the same strength that Jesus Christ did, as we learn to trust and know the Lord Jesus Christ in all things.
Right.
And I believe that that does require an intimate relationship. You cannot just be just good friends and check in with him on a Sunday morning.
Otherwise, we'll be called hypocrites because we'll know what we should do. We'll have an idea of what that's supposed to look like. I mean, how many times have we wanted to be like Daniel? I mean, the Daniel diet. We're all trying to eat vegetables and cleanse our bodies, but we leave off the prayer part and the intimacy part of knowing the nearness of God and the power of God, and that's what we've got to get to, even in the trials. And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a listener-supported discipleship program of Sharon Hart's ministry. Join a community seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. With resource materials available for the journey at sharonhearts.org. That's SHARIN hearts.org.